Amen. Thank you, girls. Good song. Amen. What a blessing. God is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And these are the best things that's ever happened to you, too. Amen. Thank God for what He's done in our life. You remember that day you got saved? Have you never felt that way? You'd never gotten saved. God was drawing you to Him. And thank God you got reeled in. Amen? Thank God you got reeled in. God is good. Man, I'm telling you what, thank God for His goodness. Matthew chapter 16 in your Bibles this morning. I feel like preaching today. A preacher can't just sit there and listen to preaching all week without getting something in his gizzard going. Amen? And gizzard, that's a Texas word for heart. Amen? My heart got going. It was great preaching this past week. And I hope God did something in your life. Amen? I hope God did something in your life. I hope you can remember something from that conference. Because there was so much good there. And man, keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. Don't lose sight of it. Don't lose sight of important things that God has for your life. Don't lose sight of it. And I want to preach on the subject in this passage. Why did Jesus rebuke Peter? Why did Jesus rebuke Peter? And I want you to see what the passage says this morning. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to begin with verse number 20 and read through verse 28. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from me, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Notice, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26 is my text. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Why did Peter get rebuked? Why did Jesus look at him and call him Satan? And I want to preach on that thought this morning. Father, bless, we ask this morning, the message, the Word of God as it's given to us. Lord, you gave us the truth and the Word of God, and God, may we hold dear. Lord, there's somebody here today who needs the message and the truth. And God, there may be somebody listening online who's living a fruitless life, a life away from God, a life that is really, in all terms, wasted, an empty life. Oh, God, would you speak to their heart today? Would you draw them to you? Would you help them to see the error of their way and help them, I pray today, to get a fire in their soul for the things of God? Or that our lives would be what you want them to be. Lord, for your glory and your honor. Help me now, I pray, as we open the word of God. I'm nothing without you, but with God, all things are possible. Bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage that we just read this morning, the Lord Jesus and Peter here are coming to the time when Christ is going to be offered on the cross. The Lord Jesus has told his disciples that this time would come again and again. He wanted them to be prepared and ready when he was going to go to the cross and die. And he wanted them to know what to do when that time came. Because Jesus would no longer be with them in an earthly form. But we know that the Holy Spirit came to be with them and indwell them and live with them and in them. But an interesting conversation goes on here between Peter and the Lord Jesus. Are you listening? Peter, hearing that it was time for Jesus to die and to go to the cross and be killed, he got upset about that. He looked at the Lord Jesus and he actually rebuked the Lord Jesus. He said, that can't happen. Be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, I think Peter loved God. And I think Peter wanted Christ to stay there with him. But God did not send his son just for Peter. God sent his son for an eternal purpose for every man, that every man might live in Christ. And so Jesus looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I don't think there could be any worse thing in life than for Jesus to look at you and say, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine those words? I think my heart would just sink within me. And here's what was going on. Here's what the passage of Scripture is teaching us. Jesus is saying, Peter, there is more importance in eternity than what goes on this earth. He's saying, Peter, eternity is more important than the earthly. Can I tell you something? How many years are you going to get in this life? If you live 70, maybe you get 80 years of life. But can I tell you what? It's going to end. How long is eternity? Eternity lasts forever. And God is saying, eternity is what you need to be looking at, Peter. Eternity is so important. You know that if Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross and he'd have stayed with Peter, he couldn't have paid for the sins of mankind. He was saying eternity is more important. You know, how many people live for this earth and never get a vision or a focus on how to live for eternity? You know, have you ever stopped to think that this life is a preparation for how you're going to live in eternity? This life is a preparation. Because you're not going to be in this life too awful long. It's a vapor. It appears for a minute and then it's gone. Don't live for what's going to go on today. Live for what's going to matter in eternity. Eternity is where our focus needs to be. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, you're not focused on eternity. You're focused on what's earthly. You're just looking at now, just looking at today. Oh, hear me, my friend. The Bible's teaching us to put our eyes off of earthly things and put our mind into heavenly things. God's saying, don't just live for the now and now. Live some so that somebody can get to heaven. That's why we give to missions. That's why these missionaries are here. That's why God tells us to work hard and live so that we have something. And God tells us to have something. Why? So we can have something to give. God said, don't just have something. God said, have something so that you can give it. You say, there's those preachers always asking for money. Let me tell you something. That's a wicked thought. That's an evil thought. I'm not asking for my earth. I'm asking for your focus on eternity. Amen. And by the way, it ain't me asking anyway. Jesus established it in his word long before I ever said anything about it. God said, give and it shall be given. That's God's word. You know, God tells us reasons why we don't have. We have not because we ask not. We give not. We don't give. That's why we don't have, because when you give, you have. That's God's principles. Oh, too many people in this life are like Peter. They want the earthly to go on. Tell you what, it's more important we spend this earth and this life on eternity. Clear your mind of earthly things. Yes, we have to live in this life and take care of the things that we have to take care of. But that's not where our heart should be. Our heart should not be on this earth and the things of the earth. Listen, we're just living out of a suitcase. This earth is just like a motel when you're traveling through. You ain't there to live. You're there to spend the night, do what you should do, and get back on the road again. Let me tell you something. Heaven is what's worth living for. I'm surprised at how many people live their life day to day, every day, do nothing for the Lord, don't have any vision or focus or desire to see a lost soul saved. We're just comfortable sitting in our pew. Just comfortable doing what we're doing and never wanting to do something for the Lord. George W. Truett was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He was invited to dinner to a home of a wealthy man in Texas. And after the meal, the host led him to a place where they could get a good view of the surrounding area. He pointed to the oil wells, punctuating the landscape. He boasted, "For 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now, as far as you can see, it's all mine." Looking in the opposite direction of the sprawling fields, he said, "That's all mine. Look at all that grain. That's mine." Turning eastward toward the huge herds of cattle, he said, "They're all mine." Then pointing west to the beautiful forest, he said, "That's all mine too." He paused, expecting Truett to compliment him on his great successes. Truett, however, placed his hand on the man's shoulder and pointed heavenward. And he simply said, "How much do you have in that direction?" The man hung his head and confessed, "I never thought of that." Oh, how many people never think of that direction? You know, God said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves can't break through and steal." You ever think about that? There's no thief in heaven. You ever had something broken into? That's a bad feeling. You feel like somebody invaded your life. But I want to tell you something. When you get to heaven, there's no thieves. Everything is safe in heaven. By the way, like one preacher said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Well, that's so true. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Bertha Adams was a 71-year-old woman. She died in 1976 on Easter Sunday in West Palm Beach, Florida. The coroner's report read, the cause of death was malnutrition. After wasting away to 50 pounds, she could no longer stay alive. When the authorities made their preliminary investigation on her place, they found a veritable pig pen. The biggest mess you could imagine, one seasoned inspector declared. He had never seen a dwelling of greater disarray. The pitiable woman had begged food from neighbors and gotten what clothes she had from the Salvation Army. From all appearances, she was a penniless recluse, a pitiful, forgotten widow. But that was not the case. Amid the jumble of her unclean, disheveled belongings, two keys were found, which led officials to safe deposit boxes at two different local banks. The discovery was unbelievable. The first box contained 700 stock certificates. 700. Hundreds of other valuable certificates, bonds, financial securities, and cash amounting to $200,000. The second box had even more in it, $600,000. Adding the net worth of both boxes, the woman had well over $1 million. Her great wealth did her no good whatsoever. Can I tell you, it's the same way when God offers you salvation and you do nothing with it. It's the same way when God gives us what little we have. Do you realize God takes what little we have and multiplies it? He multiplies it to use for God's glory. Someone once said, you can't win. You can't win. If you run after money, you're materialistic. If you don't get it, you're a loser. If you get it and keep it, you're a miser. If you don't try to get it, you lack ambition. If you get it and spend it, you're wasteful. If you still have it after a long lifetime, you're a fool who never got to have any fun out of it. You can't win with money unless you use it for God's purposes and God's glory. Some people think that money is not a spiritual matter. But God says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. I realize I speak to the crowd. I speak to the choir sometimes. I realize that. I thank God for what godly people do. And I am well aware that many times God's people sacrifice because they have this vision that eternity is so much greater than the things we have on this earth, our earthly possessions. And I thank God for that. And can I tell you something? There's a payday coming someday. I said, there's a payday coming someday. When you, everything you do for God, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everything you've done serving God. Every toilet you scrub at church, every lawn you've mowed, every little snotty nose that you wipe in the nursery, and some other things that you do in the nursery we won't mention. Amen. My grandson, we watched the grandsons, kids this past week. The ladies went. And there was the grandson. And Katie said, I changed his pants right before I left. But she said, I left the diaper just in case. All I'll say is, I'm glad she left that diaper. Amen. And secondly, I'm glad my son-in-law was there to change him. Amen. Glory to God. I got out of that one. Woo. Feels good to get out of something sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. I sit there on the couch praying, oh, Lord, help him to get the burden to change that diaper. Oh, Lord, please do it. God answered my prayer. Ooh, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. 2 points to the message this morning. Number one, the waste of living for earthly things. I said it's a waste. Now we have to live in this life, don't we? We have to live. But some think that this is all there is. They act as if this life is the life to give it all and live it all and enjoy it all. The only problem is that that can distract us from eternity. It can distract us from seeing what's really going to matter. There's only two things that are going to live forever on this earth. Two things are going to live forever on earth. The Word of God is one of them. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. The second thing that's going to live forever is the soul of man. The soul of man, that's it. The Word of God and the souls of men. Everything else can be gone someday. And we live for these things, may I tell you. We come to this verse. In verse 26, it says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Boy, people are trying to live and gain so they can have, so they can live this life. But the problem is, what are you going to do when you die? What happens when you die? Will it matter then? Will it matter? I say it will. Benjamin Franklin said this, quote, when I reflect, as I frequently do, upon the felicity I have enjoyed, I sometimes say to myself that were the offer made me, I would engage to run again from beginning to end the same career of life. All I would ask should be the privilege of an author to correct in the second edition certain errors of the first. You know, the funny thing about life is we don't have a second chance to live it again. We're not like the cat that gets 9 lives. We're not. We get 1 life. And it's short. And God says, don't put your mind on earthly things. Put your mind on heavenly things. Heavenly things. Oh, heaven's going to be more beautiful. Heaven's going to be more bright than you imagine. There's going to be so much done there. And you know, what's funny is we spend all our time and our money and go get that third job and can't come to church because we've got so much work to do so we can have all these extra things in life and put God on the shelf of our life. And I hear it all the time. People, they just get out of church and the devil just gets them out with other things and other priorities and other things in life crop up, and they allow them to overcome and distract them and take their mind away from God. And what ends up happening is the unimportant becomes important. And eternity is forgotten. And we end up wasting our life. That prodigal son thought he had it all. in his hand when he left the Father's house that day. But little by little in life, as he forgot about spiritual matters, what he had began to drift away and began to plunge out of his life. He soon found that he really had nothing, and that really the real value of what he had was found at the Father's house. That blessings that he had were really worth him living for those things. Oh, are you focused just on these earthly things? Are you just focused on that? Can I tell you something? Take courage if you're here today and you do not have much. Take courage. Thank God in heaven. It was that little widow that only had a few mites, but she cast them in because she could see eternity. God isn't trying to bilk us of our last cent. God is trying to show us that if we keep eternity in view, he'll return it. That little widow woman who scraped the bottom of the barrel just to give enough to Elijah the prophet was not putting in herself in a position of being desolate. She's putting herself in a position of being blessed and protected by God. But so many times we live for the waste of earthly things. You know, Jesus, he really is teaching us here in verse 26, what is man profited? What profit does it give us? What profit is it? And God's trying to teach us there's no profit. No profit on earthly things. If you don't have much, don't be jealous of the one that does, because he's not using what he has for God's glory. There was a gentleman that was invited to the dinner of a home of a wealthy friend. After the meal was over, the host asked his guests where he would go for the evening. And the guest suggested the Drury Theater, where D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey were holding meetings. With poor grace, the host accompanied him. And when they arrived, the theater was filled. The guest, determined not to lose his prey, sent a note to an usher, "Come to door 10 and get us in. I have a wealthy sporting gentleman with me, but I will never get him in again if we do not get seats." He ushered them across the stage and seated them almost under Moody's nose. The host never took his eyes off of Moody. "I will come and hear this man again," he said afterwards. He kept his word. He went again and was soundly converted. His name was Edward Studd. He was the father of that great missionary, C.T. Studd, who gave his life to God. I want to say to you today, what's going to matter in eternity? Are your eyes there? Are your eyes on eternity? Some people want to think just about this life and what they can receive. But I want to give you a second point this morning. The second point is the wisdom of living for eternal things. The wisdom of living for eternal things. Sometimes serving God has its weary days. Sometimes serving God has its defeated times. Sometimes serving God has its days that you wish you would not get up. And sometimes serving God isn't always peaches and cream. That's a fact. But I want to tell you something. The worst day I've ever had serving God is a whole lot better than one good day serving the devil. Because I'm here to tell you today that eternity is going to make the difference. Lift up your head, Christian. There's a God who's taking care of you in this life. There's a wisdom in living for eternity. There's a wisdom there. There's a wisdom beyond what this world can see. All they know is the latest, greatest this and the latest, greatest that. What they want, and they live their life filled with those things only to end up with emptiness in life, realizing that's not what life's about. Some Christians are deceived the same way. God is not saying that things are wrong, but it's wrong when we put things before our God and lose our sense, our ability to see what's going to really matter. That little bus kid that gets saved and comes to church, you know, we had VBS here. It took a lot of time and effort from you, God's people. Some of you hung 2,000 stars in the sky. Remember that? That looked great. And you hung them up there. And little by little, we had falling stars during the week. Amen? A star, whoo! And Lillian would come up and say, "Preacher, can I have that star?" I said, "Any star you find, you can have them." Woo! That lit her fire. That wasn't hard to do, but it lit her fire. She got excited. Amen. And those, hey, I tell you what, those precious kids, 12 kids got saved. You went home tired, put a lot of money in the van, gas, money and prizes and different things and hard work and effort. Let me tell you something, those kids are worth it. They're worth it. Kids, adults, older people, anyone is worth what we can do to show them the difference between living for this world, living for eternity. It's going to make a difference. I must hurry. Adoniram Judson, that great missionary, he had a best friend at the university who changed his mind, his thinking one day, and became an ardent atheist. Judson soon became as strong a scoffer and unbeliever as his friend. Some don't know that. But determining to enter upon a stage career, Judson, after graduation, joined a theatrical party. One night he found himself just out of New York City in a country inn. In the room next to him was a man was dying, and Judson was forced to listen to the man's dying groans. Inquiring the next morning, he was told that the man had died. Judson learned that the man was his infidel college friend. Suddenly overwhelmed with the futility of life without God, Judson surrendered his life to Christ and became that missionary that God had him to go to Burma. I say to you, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's a town outside of San Francisco which has a population of 500 people. But it is surrounded by cemeteries with thousands of graves. At the entrance to the town, there's a sign that says, quote, "It's great to be alive." I want to tell you something. You may be few in number in this life as a Christian, and you look around this world and see those that are dead and their trespasses and sins. But I got news for you. It's great to be alive and serving the Lord. Oh, it's going to matter someday. That prayer you pray in the midnight hour is going to matter. That one you weep for, that one you give your heart to, the one you go out of your way to pick up for Sunday school, it'll matter someday. It'll matter. That one who cannot even return to you, cannot recompense to you anything that you've done for them. Don't worry, God will recompense you. God's keeping track. He knows the score. He knows it all. Someone once said, life does not consist in what a person possesses, but in what possesses him. It's so true. It's so true. Longfellow made this quote, lives of great men all remind us that we can make our lives sublime, and departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. We can leave something. We can leave something in this old world. What are you leaving? Do you realize the wisdom of living for eternity? Oh, may I tell you what, everything will be worth it someday when we see Jesus. Like Brother Smith said, just to look at his face, just to see a glimpse of Jesus' face, it will be worth it all. Don't quit. Don't slow down. Just keep right on doing something for God and trust God. Anthony Campolo took a survey of 95-year-olds. Anyone here 95? 95? How many of you feel like 95? Is there any hands that raised? Okay, got a few of those. Okay. He did a survey of 95-year-olds, and he asked them this question. If you could live your life over, what would you do differently? And they said two things. He said, we would reflect more. And number two, we would do more things that would last beyond our lifetime. Think of that. I would do more things that would last beyond our lifetime. I say to you today, Jesus was trying to teach Peter, Peter, I'm glad you love me. I'm glad you want me on this earth. But Peter, I have an eternal purpose. There's eternity in view. Eternity in mind. There's more to do, Peter, than just earthly things. Put your mind on heavenly things. And I say to you today, God wants us to lift up our eyes and look on eternity. There's somebody here listening in the sound of my voice. You focused on the world, and you have never focused on your own soul. You never ask yourself the question, if I died today, where will I go? There's somebody that has never asked themselves that question. There's somebody who's never even thought of that question. There's somebody who has thought about everything in life that they could prepare and plan and do. But you never asked that question. Where will I spend eternity? And it's funny because we're only one heartbeat away from that. We're only one heartbeat away from eternity. And it won't. And we spend all our time thinking about that. But hear me. Hear me. It's going to be good to think about heaven. And it's going to matter someday what you did with Christ. And maybe there's somebody in this room today that does not have your eternity settled in Christ. And God wants you to settle that. He wants the matter settled. He wants you to focus on it. And maybe there's a Christian here today. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But you've kind of lost sight of that. Can I ask you to get, God wants you to get it back in your heart and your mind today, to focus on really what's going to matter, and that's eternity and what's done for Jesus. Oh, someday you'll be so glad. We go through pains and difficulties in this life, yeah. But someday we'll be glad of what's done for Jesus. Someday you will. Let's focus on eternity, not on earthly things. Let's look to Jesus.